Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you are at the most efficient way to listen to the show, enter Warman Kickfighting Show into the iTunes search engine. So we had a lot of results going on. You know, I was thinking about doing a show, like a preview show, but man, with all the events that came up and the fact that I did the last podcast probably about 8 days before the fight events, I decided to just wait it out and give you guys a results-based card. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into the action right away. We're going to start off with one championship and what turned out to be overall, and I'll talk about it a little bit more as I break down the glory card as well, but one of the biggest days in the history of a weight class ever in terms of how many elite guys, long-standing, highly ranked guys, who are sitting at the top had losses. I cannot think of the last time that three top five guys in the world lost in the same weekend. You know, like that's very, very rare. But I'm going to go ahead and jump into the kickboxing action right away. On the reserve, Daniel Dawson gets a victory over Sasha Moisa by split decision. Shout out to Daniel Dawson. I mean, this guy is, he's one of the most entertaining fighters in kickboxing that no one ever knew about, because when he was in his prime, he did have an opportunity to fight in K1. And it's funny because style-wise, you would have thought that he would have had more opportunities than even John Wayne Parr. Because John Wayne Parr was very good, but he had a full rules Muay Thai style. As far as the game that they like, I thought that they would have given Daniel Dawson more opportunities. But I believe he only fought in K1 in its prime. I think he fought for them maybe once. One for sure, but there might have been a second one in there. But shout out to him for at this stage in his life, mid to late 30s, still getting high-level kickboxing opportunities and getting a win here. And he's in a reserve of a tournament that could very well produce some sort of injury. So shout out to Daniel Dawson. You just got to see him in his prime. He's got good kickboxing skill, and he's got a slickness about using, jumping knees and jumping spinning kicks. And you just don't know when it's coming, because everything about his game is just fluid kickboxing. Then all of a sudden, boom. So he's a really, really good fighter. He gets the victory here. Jabba Askarov defeats Enrico Kill by unanimous decision. And it's funny, and this is the opener for the Featherweight Grand Prix. Featherweight, the weight classes are a little bit weird for one championship. They had a athlete pass away in the weight cutting process, so they decided to change all the weight classes. They made the smaller weight classes move up, thinking that that would have some sort of effect on the weight cutting. Unfortunately, athletes are going to be athletes, and they just look at the number. They look at the weight number, and then that's where they're getting to. So whether you call it featherweight or lightweight, they've only, responded, and they will fight in the weight class that is the one that they are, attracted to, or the one that they've built their resume in. They could care less how much they're cutting, but at least they tried something. Anyways, Askarov, of course, who's got a great resume, the kickboxer worldwide, from Contender Asia to fighting in K1 to fighting on, the various cards all over the world, Evolution, and he's just done it all. I'm going to do a show on what I would call the biggest professionals. You could use the term journeyman, but just fighters who just show up and compete all the time. Askarov is on that list. He really got the most out of his abilities, and he really fought at a high level. So a motivated Askarov not only scored good offense, but he tried some jumpings, flip kicks and stuff like that. He tried to put on a show with it. So good job for Jabba Askarov, one of the more popular people in all of kickboxing, in my time of being in love with the sport. I think I told you guys once before, I watched him on a card when I was in Italy, and the crowd had the biggest response to Georgia Petrosian, who fought Cosmo Alexander that night. And then they had, of course, solid, I guess what you would say, solid responses to some of the better kickboxers on the card from Italy. But surprising to me was how many people knew who Jabba Askarov is. He had a good crowd pop that day, and that surprised me. So shout out to Askarov, still doing his thing in this fight game. Joe Nottawa gets a victory over Sasha Moisa. What happened here was Sasha was able to enter because Daniel Dawson won but got injured. So then we had Sasha Moisa, if I'm remembering that correctly, if I have my notes correctly. Joe Nottawa gets a victory there. And then we have, where are we at in the card? Sorry. It's, all right, cool. Then we go into our two big upsets. Sami Sanna gets a victory over Jozen Clyde Fairtex in one of the fights of the year. Just absolute, you know, carnage. Back and forth. They stood in the pocket and, you know, they really beat each other up pretty good. But Sanna, who clearly outscored Jozen Clyde, clear. The way Jozen Clyde lost, and this is just to show you guys just how special this is. Jozen Clyde has not lost a kickboxing bout since, get this, Artur Kashenko in 2011. In November of 2011 was the last time this guy lost. We are in 2019 now. That is an almost 8-year run of not losing. And it's not like there's bums in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got a Johan Ladon victory. He's got a Kim Sitsong Pinyong victory. He's got a Vladimir Morvichik victory. He is, not to mention, he's got a Sami Sanna victory. You know what I'm saying? He beat the guy that he lost to in this particular time. Murat Gregorian, he beat him during that period of time. Of course, Murat had a big weekend. We're talking about an elite run. Jabba Askarov, another guy who he beat over this period of time. Special, special, special. He literally had a win over everybody in the tournament, pretty much, except for Georgia Petrosian. So, but when this loss came, it was eerily similar to his other losses. Because what Jozen Clyde does is he's good on his pull counter. But if someone can withstand it, and Sanna was an absolute monster standing next to Jozen Clyde, who once upon a time competed at a much bigger weight, but he just looks so much bigger than Jozen Clyde. In particular, his torso. It's like he had smaller legs and a big torso. But he looked like an absolute monster staring over him. Just a huge, huge guy. And when Jozen Clyde gets into his offense, the left leg's cracking, and then he finds you with his hook counter, and he walks you down, throws in flurries, and then he finds the big uppercuts underneath your guard, or he finds his hook. He really is a lead hand fighter. I believe he's right-handed who fights left-handed. But he can really crack with that lead hand. Not uncommon in Thailand, you'll see that a lot, the right-hand lead, even though it's the power hand. But in the Kashenko fight, and then another fight that I really want to bring you guys' attention to, you'll have to sit down and do your research on it, or sit down and try to find it. It's not that far. But look at the Yasuhito Sirahashi, Shirazu fight. Shirazu, I believe I'm pronouncing that right. Shirasu. When I watched this fight, that's the first fight that popped into my mind, where Jozen Clyde plays the lean, and he waits for you to either get afraid of his lead hook or for you to stop striking. And in both situations, the guys just kept striking. So Shirazu just kept punching no matter what, and he was able to score a knockdown, and he was able to get a victory in the Thai fight extreme that happened in Ariake Coliseum in Japan. So this fight with Sanna was very, very similar to that in terms of he got into his offense, they stayed in the pocket, but they just kept coming. Kashenko, same thing, just kept coming. And Sanna put up a lot of offense. He clearly gets a decision victory, and he moves on in the tournament. Definitely a surprise. Surprise number two, Petr Morakot defeats Georgia Petrosian by split decision. This one was close. A lot of people thought that Petrosian probably could have won it, but it was in doubt. One thing that I will say, Petrosian showed some, you know, aggression in this fight that we haven't seen probably since his Yuya Yamamoto days. He has been more aggressive in fights lately. You've seen him be a lot meaner and look for stoppages, but you've never seen him kind of lose composure or really go after a guy without having them significantly hurt. And I think because in the first fight with Petr Morakot, he scored a shot and Petr kind of fell into the cage and got back up. And he didn't get a knockdown score for it, if I remember correctly, but it's clearly a knockdown. So maybe he thought, okay, much more belief in, you know, in my hands. Now that they haven't bothered me in a while, much more belief in my offense with my hands because I dropped this guy before and he escaped me. Maybe that encouraged him to be more aggressive. Whatever the case, it led him to get hit more than he usually does. It led to some close rounds, and Petr Morakot gets the victory. He moves on. Your featherweight tournament next round is Show Narawat, Jabba Askarov, Sami Sanna, and Petr Morakot. So we go to a fight. It actually kind of surprised me here. The lightweight title, our 170 pounds, 77 kgs. Regan Ursel gets a victory over Nikki Holtzkin. Regan showed good kickboxing throughout, and he landed a very, very sneaky knee that split Nikki Holtzkin's guard to score a down in the fight. Here's what surprised me about this fight. It really, really surprised me. People were calling this an upset. That did shock me. Holtzkin is still a very talented guy, but Regan Ursel's world-class. He's got some good wind, and he's a good athlete. If I were to make a prediction on who won this fight before watching it, I would lean towards Ursel. He's on a roll. He's been landing his offense. He's just in his prime. You know, it's a we'll be talking about Alex Pereira a little bit later, but sometimes you just catch a guy when they're on fire and they're moving in a certain direction, and Ursel's heading in that direction. He gets a big win here, but on Twitter, I saw a lot of people, you know, and on Facebook, a lot of people called this a upset, and I just didn't see it. I just thought that it was an evenly matched fight between some very high-level guys, and Regan Ursel, younger, in his prime, was able to score more significant offense and get the W. That's how I personally saw this fight. So, good stuff. By one championship, their tournament continues, and of course, you know I'll be watching because it's what I do. So we're going to go to Utrecht for the Glory 65. This brought things back to me because when I lived in Holland, I stayed in Utrecht with a friend. Shout out to my homeboy Tom, brother from another mother, Tom, out there in Holland, who let me stay with him. But let's go ahead and jump into the fight card. Josef Van Belzen, 3 knockdowns in the first round. Oh, by the way, I've mentioned this before. I'll mention it again. I work for Glory Kickboxing. I work on their talent ops division, and I do I help with matchmaking, and I do a lot of help with finding U.S. talent and signing new talent. So whenever I break down the Glory card, I am going to focus more on the action in the ring and not so much the narrative and stories and so on, but I'm just going to focus on the action. Josef Van Belzen against Percy Demare, 3 knockdowns in the first round. Just sometimes you just catch fire. Belzen was able to score big with the hands early in the fight. He's able to score a knockdown. He was able to pursue Percy throughout the rest of that round to get his early finish. I mean, he showed a lot of talent. Very, very good fighter. Good to have him. This is how you want to open the card. And by the way, before I even get into this card full, we're talking about one of the candidates for fight card of the year. It really was an entertaining scrap throughout this whole card. We move on to Amari Diedrich as he gets a victory over Danny Traore by split decision. Diedrich fought great. You know, I thought that in round one, another good style clash, Danny Traore did a great job of scoring offense with his hands and then putting the step knees on there. And I thought that he built a lead in round one, whereas Diedrich really came on in round two with just keeping it simple. Power combos, big low kicks, power punches, and walking Danny down. Slowly you can see the pressure start to slow Danny a little bit. He wasn't able to get as offensively effective as he was in the first round, whereas Amari Diedrich just kept building, kept moving forward. Diedrich gets the win, and very humbly he said, "I was glad that I got the win today, but I got a long way to go." And that's a good start, and that's a good mentality. If you want to be the best in the world, it starts off by getting your hands raised at the highest level. But you always want to be better than the person that you were before. So he got in there, he got his victory, he got momentum. Now he wants to get back in the gym, you know, play with the tools that his coaches have in mind for him, and then get back in there and fight another glory level guy. Good stuff from Amari Diedrich. Danny Traore, good job. Good job. Very talented guy. You've got the skill. You've got the gym because you go to Coliseum. He's got all the talent to do something with his career, but he lost a split decision in a fight where round two kind of determined it. So good job here, and I'm excited to see what happens to you moving forward. Keith Van Heckeren gets a victory over Matt Baker in another very entertaining fight. Heckeren came out and was determined to kickbox. He was steady on the low kick. He scored a lot of inside low kicks. Matt Baker just kind of, you know, toughed it out and ate the low kicks. But he was just so dedicated and so committed. Baker was able to walk him down, able to throw him flurries, able to land some good punches and some step knees. But in every round, Heckeren, who had the crowd behind him because he's from Utrecht, he was just determined to win. He had too many people there in the crowd. He said, "Hey, I can't lose this fight here." And he really put on a show that reflected it. Good fight between Heckeren and Baker. Baker will be fine. You know, again, he's still a younger guy in this game. And, you know, he's going to continue to fight and get opportunities. But this was a fun international battle. Speaking of fun international battle, your first candidate for female fight of the year has been put up. Well, I won't say your first, but a for sure one. Sophia Olofsson and Christy Brereton just go ahead and just beat the life out of each other. They stood right in the pocket. And if you've ever seen Sophia Olofsson fight, when she first got to Glory, in her first fight, was against Tiffany Van Soos. She came out and she did a lot of things that she does Thai style. She plays with a mean switch kick to the body and she pressures and she walks you down. Like, that's her mentality. That's her goal. But she really wanted to win with a switch kick and with pressure. But Tiffany was just so slick and was able to score and move and land all the, what I call the sexy shots, all the shots that you remember. And then Olufsen in round 2 and 3 threw switch kick out of the game plan as far as trying to win rounds with it and just pressured it through punches. Not even the hardest punches, but the volume is just forward, 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 offense, offense, offense. So she just threw a bunch of things. Because she did that, she was right there to order for Christy Brereton, who probably had her best performance as a pro. She's won fights before, but I thought that she looked great in this one. I thought her combos looked good. I thought her kicks flow looked good. I thought that it was just a good fight. The difference in it is Sofia Olufsen is throwing, like, to every 3 shots you throw, I feel like she's throwing 15. She just keeps throwing. And she did a great job of continuing a high offensive output, and that's what got her the nod on this split decision. But very, very entertaining fight. Christy Brereton has not had the success that she's wanted as far as her Glory competitions, but, man, she's been in these fights. And Sophia's going to be fighting for the title next. So that was a good matchup, and it showed the skill of both. Olufsen moves forward to fight for the title. Christy Brereton, she'll be around. They'll use her again. She's very, very talented. The Glory European team, they will figure out something for Christy, and we'll be excited to see her again because that, man, that was awesome. So good stuff for both ladies. Luke Whalen gets a victory over Taker Sean by split decision. You know, I really like Luke's ability to throw combos. He threw good, strong boxing combos that finished with head kicks. Taker Sean really got going around the second round, and I thought that Gershon landed the offense that he normally lands. But sorry about that, phone went off in the background. He did a good job of landing the offense that he normally lands. The difference here was the offensive output that we got from Whalen in the first and third was just always a little bit better than Gershon. Now, Whalen did do something that some people questioned. I saw it on Twitter where he kept lifting his hands up in victory during the third round before the round was over with. And, you know, there's open scoring. So his team could have looked up and saw what the score was and been like, hey, closer than we think. Let's keep battling. But Luke Whalen was able to get a decision. Good debut. Showed a lot of skill. It's what you want. I think he's going to be a player. Good kickboxer. He had a good style because there's such a Thai style that comes out of England. They play the game, I'd say. They like to play the Thai game as opposed to the kickboxing flow that you would see in K1 or in Glory. A perfect example of a person who could do a little bit of both is Liam Harrison. He can play the kickboxing game because he's good with the low kicks. And then he can also play the Thai game on the lead foot and playing the counter-response game. He's got that in his ability. But for this particular outing, I thought Whalen, from the beginning, with his power punching, with his combo flow, he looked like a guy that can kickbox. Like, he just right away, he looked like a guy who was comfortable in a kickboxing setting. Next fight in the card, a Tong Fairtex as he goes against Bailey Sugden. Split decision. Fight came down to what you liked more. Either you liked the left leg of Tong or you liked the combo flurries of Sugden. Sugden would, early in the fight, try to do a good job of whenever Tong threw a left leg high, he would fire back with an inside low kick. But as the fight went on, that kick from Tong just got stronger and it was rocking Bailey from his base, and he wasn't able to get into his offensive flow as much. Whereas Sugden, when he got into space, he would put together a flurry to get close. Tong didn't show any kind of confidence in his boxing throughout. There was maybe one combo series. Most of the time, Bailey Sugden took the lead on the punches. So Sugden closed the distance, let his hands go, was able to score some good flurries, but just nothing that really hurt Tong. Close fight, could have gone to either guy. The fight reflected the scorecards. But again, you know, it's just, what do you favor and how do you score things? Some people who really like to see, I won't use the term damage, I'll use the term effect. They like to see the effect of what a power shot does with the leg. And I thought the leg, you know, of Tong Tai was just rocking the base of Sugden. Whereas when Sugden got in, I mean, the boxing was scoring clean, but it didn't give you the feel that it was as much of a critical score as what you were getting from Tom Fairtex. So Fairtex gets the victory and moves forward in the division. Bailey Sugden, he'll be fine. The dude can fight. You know, he'll be fine, and he'll keep competing. And he's, what, 20, 21 years old? So sky's the limit still there. Shahid Kaepernick gets a victory over Junior Taffa. This right here, if you ever want to know how do you fight in the heavyweight division, if you ever want to think that, oh, you've got to be powerful, you've got to be... No. You can just throw kickboxing like you've never seen before. Just kickbox. That's it. Just kickbox. And I really thought that the Kaepernick came out, didn't have the kind of heat that Junior Taffa brings. And I thought in round one, Taffa was scoring some good shots, and he's able to kickbox back. But in rounds two and three, the overall offensive flow that came for Kaepernick, who just kept throwing combos and kicks. He just kept putting it together. And then Junior Taffa was still looking for his big shots in between, still had some moments, but Kaepernick was just more consistent in his offense throughout the rounds. Kaepernick gets the victory. He moves forward. Junior Taffa, he's still a hitter, still, you know, young guy, still a strong puncher. We'll see more from Taffa. We'll see more from Kaepernick. Good stuff, fellas. Gianni Bastadi goes against Josh Johnson and wins 29-28 on every scorecard. Everyone gave Bastadi 1-2. Everyone gave Johnson 3. What a fight. What a fight. It had so many stories in it. Bastadi, who's getting stronger. Bastadi is growing into his body now. Before, he was this, you know, really skinny 155-pounder, but looked like he walked around at 159, 77 kgs. Looks like he walked around at 72 kgs or 71 kgs. He just didn't look like he was much bigger than the weight class that he was competing in. This guy was good. Like, this guy was really, really, really talented, but you wondered when the physicality was going to meet it. Now, been fighting in that weight class for a little bit, body's growing. I thought that Bastadi looked great. I thought that he got close. I thought he was able to land his single kicks. But the biggest thing was he was down to throw the combo flurries. Josh Johnson, their game plan was a little bit different. They really attacked the calf of Bastadi. They kept punching. And then you can just see the mental will that comes from the kickboxing game. Even when you're hurt to the calf, to the leg, I could clearly see that Bastadi was hurt and bothered by it. But the offensive output that he put out despite being hurt was amazing. And he continued to throw on flurries. He had a good flurry at the end of round one, where he really let the hands go strong and landed in combo. And Johnson tried to get it back, but it was just not enough time. And the same thing in round two. In round three, it was Johnson taking advantage of Bastadi, who had now been slowed by the calf kick, had been switched. He switched stance. He didn't show it in a limp, but he switched stance, and his offensive output was a little bit different. So Johnson wins. They had a weird moment afterwards. Some weird exchange. But in the end, Bastadi was like, let's keep it sportive. Man, Bastadi can fight. And the idea of Bastadi Gregorian is going to be awesome. You know what I'm saying? So good job for him. Good win, and more from you down the road. Ivan Denenberg makes his middleweight debut as he goes against Yacine Ayagan. And the flurry of punches that came together that hid the knee, that scored in clean. I don't think it was I believe it was the second knee that got in clean. And Yacine went down. Yacine lost the knees when he fought Yusri Bulgari. It's just a talent. I mean, it's just straight up, the guy is a talent. And he's got so much skill. And he only had the one loss when he fought at 77 kgs. He just made the decision that, man, it's probably better for me to not cut as much weight. I'm super tall for the weight class. I believe he's 6'5", 6'6". And he went out and he put on a great performance. I'm excited to have him as an addition to the middleweight division, which got another addition. So big night for middleweight. Donovan Weiss gets a victory over Yusri Bulgari. Yusri came out, landing his combos with power, with movement. Donovan Weiss kept it simple. Jab, low kick, pretty much the whole round. He threw some power flurries every once in a while, but jab, low kick was the story of this fight. That's all he did. He kept it basic. Then, in round two, after landing jab low kick for a long time, he's waiting on the head kick. Yusri pops out a jab. He fires the head kick right over, and he scores a knockdown. Bulgari did a great job of recovering, getting his wits about him, and then fighting back towards the end of the round. But Donovan Weiss had changed the story of the fight by winning that first round. And then you go into round by winning that second round with a 10-8, and then he went on to win with power shots to give him round three. So 29-27 on all the scorecards, all the judges giving round one to Yusri Bulgari. Great job by Donovan Weiss. Great job by Ivan Denenberg. We need new blood in the division, and these two are looking like they're in position to move into those spots. Really, really good stuff. Murat Grigoryan defeats Sitichai Sitsang Pignong. This one for me, and I'm glad that it was reflected on Twitter. I'm glad that it was reflected in Facebook. It was a clear victory for Murat Grigoryan. The knockdown that was scored in the second round was a clear knockdown. The hook got in, scored on Sitsang Pignong. There was no trip involved. The punch got in clean. He fell on his butt. He fell down, and even his response to it was, "I was knocked down." He had a little protest, but not much. Murat Grigoryan was able to win. It's almost like the stars aligned. You know, you get to fight a guy several times. You finally figure out, okay, this is where I need to be. This is the offense I need to score. Ring a little bit smaller. Maybe that helped as far as tracking him down. But as soon as he got up and it made the, you know, down Sitichai try to fight back from being down in the cards, it's like more offense was opened up for him. I felt like you can make an argument for Grigoryan winning at least the first four rounds. I'll give round five to Sitichai, who was trying, whereas Grigoryan was, you know, winning but not going crazy. Just good stuff. And I said this on Twitter. I did a story for LiverKick.com when I still write for Dave Walsh, and I talked about how kickboxing is a rematch sport. And this reminds me of Pontanai and, Orno? And this, he fought him four or five times, and he beat him one time. And the one time that he beat him, he said, that made it worth it. You know, that made it worth it. I think it was Orno. Could have been Nando, but I think it was Orno. So Pontanai fought him five times, finally got that victory over him. He looked back and he said, that was the victory that made me who I am. I needed to have that one. Here you had a guy who was 0-4, and I don't think a lot of people were excited to see this matchup begin. They were thinking more of the same. And then Murat Grigoryan goes out there, puts on a great kickboxing show. He then wins the glory title. So big stuff, big victory. Shout out to Murat Grigoryan by staying with it, by keep winning. And if he was in a fight, he'd get to the top, and then he, you know, lost. And then he fought his way back to another opportunity, and he fought again. So good job by Murat Grigoryan. We finish the card with Alex Pereira as he gets a stoppage victory over Jason Wilnes. First lands a right high kick that just snuck right inside of the block of Wilnes that scored a knockdown. And then he came out after the restart and landed a switch knee, whoever your coach is, that's what you call it. And he landed full. Wilnes goes down again. Round one stoppage for Alex Pereira, who has a round one stoppage of Yusri Bulgari, who had a knockdown when he went against Simon Marcus. He is in his prime, and he's developing his resume for being one of the great fighters in the weight class of all time, if not just great fighter, period. This is what you want to see. You want this monster at the top of your division. You want, when someone wins over him, for people to say, that's the guy. You know what I'm saying? That's the guy. And it helps that even though he was losing the fight, that he's got the Adesanya knockout win, because that's still part of this in your prime, not just beating people, but stopping people. And I bring this up. I've said it in the show many times. Shout out to Vinny Sharman. He's the guy who said it to me. He always talked about how if you're better than someone, don't play it. Don't play the game. Get them out of there. That's part of being better with someone. And Alex has got this aggression, and he turns it up, and he lands clean, effective offense, and he's trying to go home. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is, I'm here to win by stoppage, and then I'll, you know, go kick it with my girl, who's always in this corner. So shout out to Alex. What a performance. What a card. This glory card was awesome, top to bottom. We had stoppages. The decisions that we had were close. We had split decisions all across the board. We had a great women's fight. It's just what you want. It's high-level kickboxing, and it was really, really a lot of fun. Going to go ahead and go to the Crush 101 results. Won't talk about the whole card, but I do want to really, really bring up one fight, because the Kondo Minoru fight, man, it is. It didn't even last that long, but it's just what you love. It's what you love in kickboxing. It's what you love in fighting. Casey Kondo came out, was aggressive, scores a knockdown on Minoru Kimura in the first round. Kimura battled through, came back in the second round, scored several knockdowns, and then gets a KO finish in the round. It is what you want from the sport. It is what you want from the sport. Man, what a talent. Kimura is, he still loses to the elite guys. You know, he still loses to the Misaki Noris of the world. But because he fights so much, he's going to keep building the resume. I feel like this guy fights like six times a year. And that's really, really hard to do in kickboxing. But thanks to the K1 Crush, you know, connection, he's keeping himself active. He's getting big fight opportunities. He's headlining these cards. He's just staying live in the division. So shout out to him. Really, really good stuff. Next fight on this card I want to talk about is Kanahashi Miho as she gets victory over Suzuka. Knockout in the third. Pay attention to this girl. I can't think of what her Twitter is. But Takanashi Miho is a talent. She's got skill. I've been following her on Twitter, and I follow just kind of see her training and her preparation. They should invest in her heavily, and they can keep bringing her opposition to keep moving her. She's got all the tools. I need to see more of it. I need to see it when she goes against some bigger combination. For the girls in Japan, it's always best to see them against the Westerner because sometimes they fight at their walk-around weight, and you're not sure how they're going to do when the physicality comes into play. But she really did a great job in terms of going out there, getting a win, and most importantly, winning my stoppage. Yutaka gets a victory over Masanobu Goshi, Goshu. KG gets a victory over Hitoshi Sugimoto. That was a knockout in the second round. And then there were other cards throughout. Mo Akira, Chihiro Nakajima, Riko Murasaka, Hitoshi Akito, Tei Asahisa, and then, yeah, I mentioned Naru before, all got victories on this card. So definitely shout out to Crush, who joins One, who joins Glory in terms of having one of the better full action kickboxer. All three cards produced a fight of the year candidate. Like, that's how awesome this weekend was. And now, as far as the last note that I'm going to finish the show on, is just the bedlam that came. I mean, there was a Rise card, too. So, I mean, at least want to take the time to mention some of the people who were on that card. I just don't want to skip what happened in Japan all the way. But I wasn't able to catch all these fights. But Toki Tomura gets victory over Jin Montecoro. That was for the super flyweight title. 49-48, 49-48, 50-48 on those scorecards. Masahide Kudo gets victory over Tariq Tots. That was the knockout. And Jinkei Umino, who one of the must-see fighters in the world, a lot of fun watching a lot of those fights, gets a victory over Gyo Jung Lee. Other fights, other winners, Kento Hiroguchi gets a victory. Masahashi Nakajima gets a victory. Mishihashi Muramoto gets a victory. Kazuma, Giroku Sato, Yaman, and then Degarumo Kishinahan gets the last victory on this card. I just want to round the whole thing. So thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast, man, and taking your time to listen to what was really one of the crazy weekends in all of kickboxing. I cannot think of what happened. You know, I talk about the 70 kg mix-up. It hasn't been since Andy Ristie beat Robin van Roosmalen and Georgia Petrosian in one night that the division at lightweight has been so stacked and so much happened in one division at one time. It's been since then that happened. So shout out to them. Shout out to all the athletes that made kickboxing great this weekend. And I will be back with another podcast next week. God bless, and I hope you enjoy the show. Peace.